Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing with water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading today, whenever you hear it read in church, it strikes me, starts one verse too late. It skips the most important part of the setup for this, where it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission is a word that most people don't like too much, and I think that it's probably a sign that our world also doesn't love very much, that we're unwilling to submit because we don't understand the relationship between submission and love. It's important to start there. If you're going to love somebody, you love them freely and unconditionally if it's going to be a godly love. You love them freely and you make them more important to you, and it doesn't really even matter if they deserve it, because that's the kind of love that we were given in Christ. He who has submitted himself fully to the will of his Father and to our need didn't ask if we deserved it. In fact, the answer to that question is obviously no, we don't. We rebel against him in every way and in everything. We set up our own halls of power as above that of Christ himself, who reigns over the heavens and the earth. We put our laws over his laws. We put our needs over his needs. We put our needs over the needs of his people. We put our comfort over the cries of despair and distress that you hear echoed throughout the world and have heard throughout history. We're warlike and avenging, angry and wrathful. We turn from love and submission to envy, hatred, and scorn. We turn from those that we love or are supposed to love and turn to ourselves. And then when we find out that it's really impossible to love yourself, at least in the way that most people mean by that, we fall into despair and depression, because loving ourselves does not elevate us. It simply causes us to crash down. Now, by that, I don't mean that you're supposed to take bad care of yourself. The scripture reading clearly says no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it. So we're not talking about self-abuse or self-hatred. But you see, the definition of love in Scripture is given clearly by Christ. Greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Life, love is self-giving. And a life of love is a life lived in self-giving. Dear children, love one another, for love is from God, and God is love. That means that we don't define love. We don't get to determine what love is or say, isn't it loving if we, or I don't believe a loving God would, so on. He is love, and any rebellion against Him is a rebellion against the very nature of love. We need to understand and hearken to that every time we start hearing people try to claim love for whatever perversion they want it to be. Love is about what's good for the beloved. And that's what Christ, through St. Paul, calls husbands and wives to understand, starting out with the words in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He could just as easily have said love one another, because by it he means exactly the same thing. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, this does not mean that women are subjugated to men throughout the world. This is talking about one woman giving everything that she has for the good of one man, her husband. Imagine how wonderful a marriage would be if that were the case. Not looking to her own good, but his. Waking up every morning thinking about what's going to be good for him, what's going to be great for him. This wife is a gift from God. And it's supposed to be the way that Christ thinks, or the church thinks about Christ. How do we serve him, not ourselves? How do we advance his kingdom, not our own? How do we advance that which is good for our neighbor because he loves them and died for them? Instead of seeking our own advantage, our own comfort, often at the expense of a neighbor. Far too often in my years in the ministry, I've seen husbands and wives who think of themselves not as beloved, who are given to one another for the sake of Christ, for the sake of His church, for a picture of the glorious union of Christ and His church. But they think of themselves as adversaries, even enemies, people who are working to divide scarce resources, and after a while they begin to stop trying to help each other at all. They throw impediments in the way, they put little traps up. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Again, it's not saying women should submit to every man in the world. Simply that when she stood before the altar, holding hands with him and asking the Lord to give him to her, till death do they part, she was making a promise that she would love him the way that Christ loved her, and that the church loves Christ, a self-giving love, a caring love, that always puts the other first. Husbands have an even higher call. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and righteous in his sight. That same self-giving and beyond, even to the point of dying for his wife, is the kind of love that Christ wants reflected within a Christian marriage. Men aren't given the luxury of saying, I'm the master of this household and everybody is going to be subjected to me and listen to me. No, that's actually their job to do willingly in reverence for Christ. The husband's job is to love his wife without regard to her actions, and even being willing to die for her if that's what will work to make her holy, righteous, blameless. We need to enact that in our lives. So oftentimes, I've heard people talk about their spouses and say, oh, that old ball and chain, or I would have been fine if not for that person. They become an excuse. And instead of an excuse, Christ has put somebody in your life every day that you're to love, that you're to be willing to die for, that you're going to be willing to live for. This is a profound mystery. And honestly, it's probably observed more in the breach than it is in the carrying out. But God has given us three things to preserve our faith and protect us and help us in this world: the church, the government, and the family. And the family is the structure which underlies them all. After all, God called Himself Father. Jesus calls Himself Son. He calls His church the bride. He calls Himself the bridegroom. He's brought her into the family, welcomed her in, embraced her as His own. And the Father will give her anything for Christ's sake. Because the Son has brought His bride, you, His people, into the presence of the Father through the blood of the eternal covenant, anything that you ask is yours. Anything that will do you good. This is a profound mystery. And honestly, it can only be understood in the living out, and only as we receive the final culmination in heaven, the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom. And yet, we find it here in small signs and doses. He redeemed her by the washing of water with the Word, the Scripture says, to make her a radiant church. The church, quite honestly, and I've been among those God's people and the church, His members, His holy, faithful, and beloved for so many years, I understand the foibles, the wrinkles, the scars, the blemishes. She has no beauty except that which is bestowed on her by Christ Himself. And yet to Him she is radiant, because He's washed her and made her His own. He's died for her and loved her and will never let her go. It's a profound mystery. What great love we've been given, and what great love we've been given to model. But the model is not the thing itself. Instead, as we embrace these passages, we embrace what Christ has done for us. That in our daily lives, we might be a typological sign of what He's done. But it's His gift which reigns, His willingness to cleanse us with His own blood, His willingness to forgive and forgive and forgive whether we deserve it or not, His willing to be subjected to the Father's wrath for our sake, His willingness to raise us up on the last day that we might live with Him in His Father's house forever. This is a wondrous gift, one in which we should daily rejoice and that can never be taken away from us. No matter what happens with governments or with the thundering and horrible days of COVID, whatever else might come, God has built a family for us. It begins with the one in heaven who calls Himself Father. It begins with the Son who redeemed us and brings us to the Father, that together with Him we might speak to that God in heaven as our Father. It begins with the Holy Spirit who's washed us and made us clean through the waters of baptism and daily leads and guides us. It begins anew and will never end. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain L. Paul Ferguson, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.